Good morning. It is a beautiful day to be out today and to come together to as God's people to encourage one another. And we do have a great crowd here this morning. I'm thankful that you could be here. You must not have heard that I was preaching this morning, so surprise. But glad you're here. And certainly if you're visiting with us, thankful that you could be here as we come together regularly to encourage one another, to worship God, and to lift up our voices in song to Him. There is a whole slew of scientists out there who are seeking to see if there is life on other planets. And they spend a lot of time gathering a lot of data, looking for things, looking for evidence of life on other planets. And at first, their seeking in life on other planets was really kind of scattered and varied and you know, couldn't quite figure out how to go about it until they finally decided what they needed to do was look for one essential element. If they could find one thing that would indicate the potential of life, if they could narrow it down to what they could look for, then they could narrow their search so that they would be able to get an idea of whether or not life was out there on other planets. And so what they did was they narrowed their search down for water, particularly water in liquid form. Because if they could find another planet, another body out in space that contained water, then they recognized that this was the one essential compound that was key to potentially finding life. Water, and we could do a whole lesson on water. In fact, I've heard a whole lesson done on water as part of evidences of God's existence. Because of water and the power and the characteristics of water that support life just couldn't be done by accident. It's an efficient transfer of substances from all cells to the cell's environment. It is universal solvent. It takes in substances to generate energy and allows substances to be flushed out as waste products. It has a high specific heat, so it can absorb large amounts of heat without dramatic changes in temperature, and therefore it's good at helping us maintain constant body temperature. There are so many amazing properties of water, but the key that the scientists recognize is that life as we know it cannot exist without water. And so they look for water on foreign bodies to see if there is some way of supporting life. And so I took that concept, and I don't want to talk about evidences today, but I took that concept and applied it to what Elijah's been talking about over the last several weeks in his lessons. We've been talking about growth, spiritual growth, our growth as a body, and our growth individually as spiritual beings. And I wanted to narrow it down then. What is that one thing? What is that one essential element when it comes to our growth? And so I wanted to look at the Bible and try to figure out what that one essential element is. Now, there are lots of things that contribute to our spiritual growth. I don't want to say this is the only thing. But without this, much like without water, life could not exist. Without this one essential element, we will not grow. And that one essential element, I believe, and the Scriptures bear this out, is connectedness. Connectedness. Connectedness is the key to growth. Connectedness is the key to growth. And I want to begin by talking about how connectedness is very important in our physical lives. Studies have been done across all ages that help us understand how important a feeling of connection is, of being connected in our lives, and how important that is to our growth and development as individuals. When we look at infants, when infants go without connection, when they're not properly bonded with their parents, when they don't have proper connection, it has so many negative outcomes. They can be severely stunted in their physical growth. They'll have an inability to trust as they grow up because they didn't make that connection with their parents. They have major issues with insecurity. They'll struggle academically and, of course, be socially incompetent. In fact, studies have been shown that when children, particularly infants, do not get physical contact, they can have everything else they need, proper nutrition, proper care in every other form, but if they don't get that physical connection, that they can actually die. they can actually die because of that lack of physical connection, that lack of connectedness. Connection is essential also when we get into adolescence. We see when adolescents do not feel that connection to their parents, their family, or connection to others, that there is more emotional stress in their lives, that there are increased suicidal thoughts when they don't have that proper connection. There is a higher rate of cigarette, alcohol, and marijuana usage when they don't feel connected to others. An increase in violent behavior and a much earlier debut of sexual activity when they don't have that connection, because they're looking for that connection in other ways. They're looking for something to fill that void. And studies have even been shown in adults that when adults do not have that connection with other people, that emotional connection, that there can be increase in depression, increased cardiovascular disease, lower immune functioning, disrupted sleep, and of course, eventually, increased mortality rate. And so we can see that on a physical level, that connection is very important. But when we look at growth spiritually, we see that very same thing. And so this morning, I want to look at three things that we must be connected to if we are going to grow appropriately spiritually. Turn with me to John chapter 15, where Mike read for us a few moments ago. And the first person we need to be connected to if we are going to grow spiritually is Jesus. We must be connected to Jesus if we are going to grow spiritually. Mike read for us a few moments ago in John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking to his disciples on that evening he was to be betrayed. And he says, beginning of verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. So Jesus, in this analogy, is the vine. Jesus is that main trunk, that main stem. And we are the branches. As his disciples, we are the branches. And the only way that we are to bear fruit, and bearing fruit is the results of our growth. If you plant a vine that you want to get grapes from, the result of the pruning and the care that you give to that vine and the results of all of the nutrients and everything that goes into that vine is that it will eventually bear fruit. It will bear grapes. If it doesn't, then you know there's something wrong with that branch, and that branch is cut off so that no longer is the vine wasting nutrients on that branch. And so for us to gain the nutrients, gain the things that we need to grow, we must stay connected to the vine. The branch cannot bear fruit if it is not connected to the vine. We know that. If we take the shears and cut that branch off and throw it aside, what happens? In a few days, it's brown and it's dead. It's completely removed from its source of nutrients, completely removed from its source of everything that provides it life. And so without being connected to the vine, the branch cannot bear any fruit. And so accordingly, Jesus tells us that abiding in Him results in bearing fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. And so if we are to grow, if we are to bear fruit for the Lord, if we are to grow spiritually, we must first be connected to the vine, connected to Jesus. In the book of Colossians, in chapter 2, Paul, speaking of the same thing, kind of uses a little bit different language when he talks about being rooted and built up in Jesus. Rooted and built up in Jesus. He says in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Again, the only way that we can abound in the faith, the only way that we can grow, the only way that we can experience that spiritual growth is by being rooted and built up in Jesus. We must be connected with Him. And so the key question is, how does that happen? How are we connected to Jesus? Well, again, the Scriptures tell us that, give us that answer. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 17, it tells us that Christ may dwell in you, may dwell in your hearts through faith. So the first thing to being connected to Jesus is we must have faith in Jesus. We must understand who He is. We must have faith in who He is. We must have faith in Him as the Son of God. We must have faith that He can do what He says He can do. Secondly, if we're to be connected to Jesus, we must be baptized. Galatians 3:27, we are baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. You do not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We are baptized into His death that we may be raised with Him. And then it goes on to tell us that our old man is crucified with Christ. And if we die with Him, then we will live with Him. So baptism is the beginning of that connection with Jesus. But it is simply a beginning. If we are to stay connected with Jesus, we must also know His voice. We must know His voice. In John chapter 10, Jesus gives us the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep. And He says, when the shepherd brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. They know his voice. If you know anything about sheep, sheep are nearly blind. If I were a shepherd, they wouldn't look for the red-headed guy to follow and know that that's their shepherd. They would know I was their shepherd by my voice. The shepherd would talk constantly to the sheep, would know the sheep by name, would call the sheep, and the sheep would come to the shepherd by the sound of his voice. Oftentimes at night, several different shepherds would put their sheep into the sheepfold. They would share that sheepfold to protect the sheep, and they would guard the door. The next day, as they were leaving to lead their sheep to pasture, they would go in different directions and they would call to their sheep and the sheep would go to the shepherd whose voice they knew. And so if we are to be connected to Jesus, we must know His voice. If we're going to know what His will is for us, we must know His voice. We must know His voice well enough to know what is His voice and what is not His voice. I remember reading recently of someone who was talking about, I love Jesus, I just don't love religion and rules. I love Jesus, but I just don't love religion and rules. In other words, I love the idea of a Savior, but I don't like the idea of anybody telling me what to do or telling me what I shouldn't do. And so how well do you think that person's going to know the voice of Jesus? If we're to be connected to Him, we must know His voice. And lastly, if we're to be connected to Jesus, we must keep His Word. We must keep His Word. In John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And then notice what He says. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So this, I love Jesus, but I don't love rules, doesn't really work, does it? Jesus said, anyone who loves me will keep my word. And the promise is, if you keep my word, my Father and I will come and live and dwell in you. What a beautiful thought. So if we are to grow spiritually, the first thing we must be connected to is Jesus. We must be connected to Jesus. Secondly, we must be connected to the Spirit. We must be connected to the Holy Spirit if we're going to grow. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And really, Paul is following an argument that he started in chapter 7, talking about his personal struggle to do that which he knows he should do, and yet the flesh wants to do something else, and he talks about his personal struggle with that. And so in chapter 8, he really brings that to light and how that applies to all of us. And he says in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And so, if we're going to be connected to the Spirit, the first thing we have to ask, the first question we have to ask ourselves is, are we carnally minded or are we spiritually minded? Is our focus on our flesh or is our focus on our spirit? Now, every time the word Spirit appears in my Bible here in this passage is capital S, which usually indicates the Holy Spirit. I don't necessarily think that that's true about every time the word Spirit is mentioned here. I think several times Paul is talking about the difference between my flesh and my spirit. Am I focused in what I do in this life on my flesh? Am I focused on pleasing the flesh? Am I focused on what works for the flesh? Or am I focused on my spiritual being and focused on what is right for the Spirit? And Paul is making that distinction. Am I minded toward the flesh or am I minded toward the Spirit? And Paul tells us, if we're minded toward the flesh, we got a problem. For those who are in the flesh, and he's not talking about walking in the flesh, he's talking about who are living according to the flesh, cannot please God. Cannot please God. And so if we are going to be connected, if we're going to grow spiritually, we must be connected to the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, perhaps the most well-known passage about being connected to the Spirit, Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit. And of course, the idea of walk is to live our lives according to the Spirit, to walk in a spiritual awareness. And he puts that again against the flesh, as opposed to the flesh. He talks about the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. He goes on. Those are things that are in the flesh. Those are the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh. Paul says we need to put those things off and instead walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, he tells us it will bear fruit. We will grow. There will be results. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's a definition of a spiritually mature person, someone who embodies those characteristics. And Paul says the way we achieve those things is not to go out and search really hard and try really hard to gain self-control. Paul doesn't say if you need joy, then you need to learn to be joyful. What does he say? Walk in the Spirit. And those will be the result of walking in the Spirit. And so if we are to grow, we must be connected to the Spirit. And so, again, we ask the question, how do we become connected to the Spirit? Well, first off, we become connected to the Spirit when we're baptized into Christ. What did Peter say in Acts 2 and verse 38? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we must be spiritually focused. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, again, focus on the flesh is death. You cannot be pleasing to God when you're focused on the flesh. Instead, you must be focused in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul was talking about the wisdom he had received from God, talking about the wisdom he was then sharing with them, telling them, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But he says in verse 10, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. If He's revealed it through the Spirit, how then are we going to perceive it? Jump down to verse 14, he says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So if I'm focused on the flesh, if I'm focused on this life, Paul says, I can't receive the things of the Spirit. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And so if we are to receive the things of God, if we are to understand the things of the Spirit, we must be ourselves focused on the Spirit, not focused on the flesh. And then, of course, that ultimately means walking in the Spirit, living according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, if we are to grow spiritually, we must be connected not only to Jesus and to the Spirit, but we must be connected to the body. We must be connected to the body. The body is the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, the very end of that chapter, Paul says, and Jesus put all, or and God put all things under Jesus' feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And so the body is the church, and of course the church is the people of God. We are the people of God who are added as spiritual stones, 1 Peter 2 tells us, into that spiritual building, being built up a spiritual house. The church is the people of God, and therefore, if we are going to be connected to the body, that must mean we are connected to one another. And we need to make sure that we clear up a misconception here. Being connected to the body does not mean sitting in the right church building at the right time of the right day of the week. That's not what being connected to the body means. Being connected to the body does not mean claiming I'm with the right group of people, and therefore I'm connected to the body. Connected to the body means being connected to the people, connected individually. And the truth is, growth only comes via connection to the body. Connection to the body. In Ephesians chapter 4, a passage we've read many times, Elijah's focused on it a few times, I've focused on it many times before, Paul talks about how the body grows. He says, Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And so he tells us here that it's our connection to the body, it is our growth within that body that brings about that maturity, that brings about that mature man, that mature woman in Christ. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We cannot grow if we are not connected to the body. Paul uses the body analogy in much larger context in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he talks about the importance of each part of the body and how each part plays an important role in the body. And we understand that from a physical sense, that we can't disconnect part of our body from our body and expect it to be okay. We know that when a part of the body is hurt, it relies on the rest of the body to bring nutrients, to bring the red blood cells, to bring all of the healing power that the body has to that part. If we separate it from the body, it's not going to heal. It's not going to grow. And so we must be connected to the body if we're going to grow. And when that happens, then the body itself grows. If we are to grow as a body, then it's dependent upon each of us individually growing. And that growth only happens when we are connected to one another. Well, how do we grow, or how do we get connected to the body? Well, first off, and you're going to see a theme here, through baptism. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, Paul says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and all have been made to drink of one Spirit." And so we were all baptized into one body. That's the beginning of our connection to the body. How else do we connect with the body? Well, secondly, when we come together, when we assemble with one another, we connect with the body. Hebrews chapter 10, it lets us know that there is value in our coming together. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching." But not only being connected to one another here, but being involved in each other's lives on a daily basis. Over 30 times the phrase "one another" is used in the New Testament. And those "one another" passages indicate how we support and care for and love and minister to one another. And we cannot grow if we are not doing that with each other. "Serve one another," Galatians 5:13. "Forgiving one another," Ephesians 4:32. "Showing hospitality to one another," 1 Peter 4. "Edify," admonish one another. "Speaking to one another" in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. "Teaching and admonishing one another." "Exhorting one another," bearing one another's burdens. "Comfort one another." "Confess your faults to one another." "Minister to one another." Those things can't be done if we're not in each other's lives, if we're not connected. And we can't grow if we don't have those around us supporting us and encouraging us and strengthening us. So what is the key to spiritual growth? If there's one key element, those scientists are looking for water on those bodies out in space, because if they can find water, particularly if they can find it in liquid form, then there's a good chance there may be life. Good luck with that search, I would say. That's a different lesson. But if we are going to grow, it is essential that we are connected that we are connected to Jesus, that we are connected to His Spirit, and that we are connected to one another. Without that connectedness, without being connected, we cannot grow the way we need to grow. And so this morning, if you're not connected to Jesus or His Spirit or the body, I encourage you to stop and think about why not. If there's something we can do to help you make that connection, whether it be study some more to learn what you need to do, or whether you know what you need to do, and you know now is the time, why not begin your connectedness with Jesus and with His body? The baptistry is ready. If anyone needs to be baptized this morning, I encourage you to come forward as we stand to sing our hymn of invitation.